Everyone, good to see you again. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church, and just want to welcome those of you who are visiting with us this morning. Most of you know I've been gone the last few weeks to Pakistan and Qatar. Back on Tuesday night, we had a great time. I won't take too much time today to tell you the story, so we'll share a few of those in the weeks to come. But thank you for praying for me. Many of you knew that I was sick. I had, if I look like I lost weight, it's because I did. Silver lining in it all, I guess. But spent a good portion of my time in Pakistan quite sick. Still been fighting it since I came home. But by the grace of God, we saw God do amazing things. So thank you for your prayers. Today is a bit of a special Sunday in that we're going to hear from two people from our church today. We're going to give them each 15 minutes, and they're going to share with you what God has put on their heart. I'm going to introduce them both to you now, and then we'll get right into it. The first person we're going to hear from is Shay Abarifa, and Shay and his family have been a part of our church, him and his wife Funke and their children, for the last almost a year and a half. You've probably seen them in the foyer, or if you're new to our church, in the Connections class, because they have really plugged in this last year and a half and just been so blessed by them and their whole family, the way they've served. They've gotten involved in the guest services team as well as assisting in our Connections class and with our newcomer meet and greets. Shay and Funke are now co-leading a life group as well. And before they came to Harvest City, they were originally from Nigeria, where Shay was an associate pastor at a church there in Nigeria. They moved to South Africa and plugged into a church there where Shay ministered quite regularly. Now they've moved to Regina, and they've got a great story of how God brought them here. But Shay is presently a volunteer researcher at the U of R, and he's studying for his master's in teaching and leadership. So he's a pretty smart dude, is basically what I'm saying. After Shay, we're going to hear from Jenny Kachaluba, first time as a Kachaluba, I think, on a Sunday morning. And many of you know Jenny's been our next gen pastor here for a while at the church, and we always love hearing from her. And so we're gonna hear from both of them. So Shay, why don't you come on up, and then I'll pray for you, and we'll get going this morning. You're all wired up, ready to go?
Yeah.
Father, I thank you for Shay. I thank you for their family. I thank you for bringing them to Harvest City Church. I thank you for the Word of God that is within him. And Lord, I pray as Shay ministers today that he would preach with boldness and with clarity. Help him today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Pray for Jenny as well. Anoint her, oh God, and help her to release what you've put on her heart as well. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you, Shay.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff, for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly at all. Okay. Good morning, everyone. All right. Welcome to church. Good to see you all. To our online viewers, good morning. We love you. Thank you for tuning in this morning. All right. To begin with, will you please do me a favor? Turn to someone and tell them God is good. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. Can we take it a little bit further? And look straight to the person and tell them, God is good all the time.
God is good all the time.
All right. Some might say, Shay, wait a minute. I'm not too sure about that. I can confidently say that God is good, but that all the time, I'm not sure about that. Are you saying that even in sickness, I mean loss of job, loss of loved ones, God is still good? This morning, I want to tell you that God is good all the time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So this morning, why don't we talk about the goodness of God? Is that okay? All right, let's talk about the goodness of God. Amen. All right, so before we go on, I'd like you to just take a moment, everybody. I'd like you to think about when you've experienced the goodness of God in the past. Just want you to take a moment to think about it. And I'd like you to hold on to that thought for a bit as we unpack the subject this morning. Okay. All right. Now, when we think about the goodness of God, oftentimes, you know, what comes to mind is, you know, we think about a situation where everything is perfect with no challenges, you know, no difficulties at all. However, the goodness of God says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they do what? They comfort me. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. Now, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. When you go through, I will be with you. Therefore, what is the goodness of God? The goodness of God is God being with us in every situation. Listen to this, and don't forget. God is not just for us. God is always with us. In every situation, God is always there. God is always there. Now, you know the story of the three men. They were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And here is the testimony of the king. Hear what the king said. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisor, when there are three men that were tied up and threw into the fire, they replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see fourth men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Now, somebody may say that, why can't God just, don't let him just go through fire? But the reality is, the goodness of God does not mean that you will not go through the fire of life. It does mean that you will not go through it alone. It's right there with you. It's right there with you. I wish that God could just open our eyes this morning, just like he did for the king. You will see that in the darkest moment of your life, God was right there with you. Now, you may wonder, why can't God just prevent us from going through these difficulties? Why? Some even go further. You know the rhetorical question. Why will a good God allow bad things to happen? The truth is, God actually, he wishes that we have everything perfectly well. However, he knows in advance that there are at least two forces that will work vehemently to oppose us. Therefore, out of the abundance of his goodness, God designed a better option. God, somebody said, a better option. What are you talking about? A better option. Yes. Romans 8:28. Everyone should be on the screen. Romans 8:28. Church, can we read this together? One, two, go. Amen. Now, question for you. How many things are working for your good?
Everything.
How many things?
All things.
Whether it's good or it's bad, God's design is that they will certainly work together for your good. Now, I said earlier that there are at least two forces that are always, always challenging us. That are always opposing us. Let's talk about those two forces this morning. The first one, you won't like to hear it, but I will say it anyway. All right. So the first one is ourselves. Hear what Theodore Roosevelt said. He said, and this is a very funny quote, say, if you could kick the person in the pant responsible for most of your troubles, you won't sit for a moment. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? Let's hear what the Bible says. Let's go to James 1:13 to 14. Hear what the Bible says. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong. He's always good. And he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Now, I love it in Amplified Version. So let's see what the Amplified Version says. Right. It says, let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God does not originate, for temptation does not originate from God, but from our what? Say that with me. From our what? Hey, wait a minute. Do we have any flawless person in the church today? Flawless person? Flawless person, are you there? Oh, the person didn't come to church today. The person didn't come to church. The reality is we all have our flaws. Now, some of you, it's unforgiveness. The Holy Spirit is even ministering to you that you need to forgive that person. But you're saying, you know what? I'm not ready yet. The Holy Spirit went further to tell you that this unforgiveness is killing you. So, well, Holy Spirit, I'm not dead yet. Some of us, our flaw is pride. Some of us is lust, worry. Some of us are professional warriors like Caleb. You remember the message? All right, okay. I think it was speaking to me that day. Some of us, it's the care of this world that is constantly hindering us and making us to fall. For me, you like to hear mine? Okay. Mine is impatience. I was so impatient. Now, I'm better now. Thank to God, and thank God for my wife. Maybe her name should be called Patience, not Funke. I think my problem is the word wait is not in my dictionary. I just have a need for speed. I just want to run. Now, in many instances, now, by the way, you remember in every athletic race, you have, the ref or the starter, and it gives three commands. What are the commands? All right, different version, right? On your mark, get set, and then go. Okay. For me, when God gives me an instruction, and he said to me, Sheyi, on your mark, guess what? I'm gone. I just want to run. But God, out of the abundance of his goodness, is doing two things at the same time. First, his arms were going with me so that when I fall, I will fall to his arm. Hear what the Bible says. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are what? The everlasting arms. Secondly, it's working behind the scene to make sure that the fall is working for my good. But for me, when I fell or failed, I asked God a question. I turned to God. I said, God, why? Why did I fall when I had your instruction? He smiled and said to me, and I believe God is saying to somebody this morning the same thing. He says, She, you fell, but not broken, because I was right there with you. Amen. To someone this morning, God is saying, you are pressed and not crushed because of my goodness. Now, I said to God, thanks, but I still want to know why I fell. Then he said this to me. He said, the instruction is a thinking point, not an action point. And I said to God, God, I don't understand. He said, the instruction is for you to think about so that when it is time to act, you will not be acting from a position of ignorance. And I said, okay, God, I get it. You think I got it right? No way. No ways. Again, God gave me an instruction. This time around, I took some time to think about it, and then he said, get set. Again, I'm gone. I remember this scene in 2003, and then after, failed, I complained to God this time around. I said, God, why? I had your word with greater intensity this time. Why did I fall? And he said this to me, I will never forget. He said, the intensity of the message is not the same as the urgency of the message. I said, whoa, God, you lost me. What does that even mean? He said, the intensity of the message communicates the significance of the message, but you still need to wait for a goal before you act. Why? For the vision is yet for what? An appointed time. Beloved, impatience was my flaw. Thank God, I'm better. I'm getting better. You have yours. How do we handle this guy? How do you prevent ourselves from standing in the way so as to enjoy the goodness of the Lord to the fullest. James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God. To handle ourselves, we need to submit to God. Look at the way Paul put his own submission. I love that. He said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is what? What does that mean? We need to get to a point in our lives where we can confidently say these three things. One, I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to lose. Christ is enough for me. Until you get to that point, you are not submitting yet. And this is submission. I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to prove. Christ is enough for me. All right. Okay, let's quickly look at the second force. I'm closing now. The second force. I mentioned the first force is ourselves. The second one is the devil. I hate that guy. I hate the devil so passionately, and he knows it. I said it jokingly to friends. I said, I hate the devil so much that he knows it. If you find the devil, just ask him. So if you find him, just ask him. It's a story for another day. Now, you know, why? This guy, devil, is so bad. So bad, bad, bad. There is no out of goodness in the guy. He specializes in doing the exact opposite of what Jesus came for. John 10:10, the thief comes, that's the devil, only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that what? That you may have life and have it to the full. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for, not resting, looking for who he may devour. The devil is a terrible guy. Can you imagine? Keeps looking for someone to steal from, to kill, and to destroy. Now, how do you handle the devil? Two things. Number one, stay alert. Somebody say with me, stay alert. Now, there's a story in the Bible. Jesus was telling his disciples that, you know, he was going to die. And you know, Uncle Peter. Hear what Peter said to him. Peter said, Jesus, whoa, 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 he took him aside. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. He said, "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, that will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan." Whoa. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are saying things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Now, if this were to be in our days, you know what we say to Jesus? You are just being spiritual. I mean, you are too spiritual. Is Peter talking, not the Satan? Why are you saying, Satan, get behind me? May the Lord help us to be alert and sensitive to the tricks of the devil. Here, how the Bible put it in 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, so that Satan will not outsmart us. That's what he's thinking about. Always wanting to outsmart us. Why? For we are familiar with his evil scheme. Let's talk about the second one quickly, and then I will close here. The second thing to do to handle the devil is to resist the devil in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Philippians 2:9-10 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth. Amen. Hear this and don't forget. Don't cuddle the devil. He is not your friend. The Bible calls him our what? Our great enemy. Don't try to reason with the devil. He is not reasonable at all. The Bible commanded us to do what? Resist the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear this. The devil and the demon that will resist the name of Jesus Christ does not exist. Resist the God. As I close, church, to enjoy the goodness of God to the fullest, you must what? Submit to God. What does that mean? I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to lose. Jesus is. And second thing, resist the devil in the name of Jesus and he will flee away from you. Please say with me, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. Please give your hand of applause to the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Please welcome Jenny. Thank you, thank you. The Lord is good.
Thank you, Shay. Oh man, why do I have to follow that? I should have gone first. So good morning. My name is Jenny Kachaluba, and if you don't know me, I am the Next Generation Pastor here at Harvest City. And when Shay and I met to talk about what we would speak about this Sunday, I had a few thoughts sort of floating around my mind, but nothing had really fixed yet. And then Shay told me that he wanted to speak on the goodness of God, and there was one thought that immediately came to the forefront of my mind, and that single word was praise. And when I told Joel this, he thought I meant praise Shay's son. So I'm not going to spend 15 minutes talking about Shay's son praise, although I could very easily. I'm going to talk about praise in the Bible. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about praise, such as Isaiah 25 verse 1. It says, "Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago." And Psalm 9 verse 2 says, "I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." And after hearing about the goodness of God, it felt like the natural response is to praise. And we do this in our normal everyday life. If someone does something good, then we praise them. If there's a good outcome, a good behavior, a good characteristic in someone, the natural progression is to praise that and see that repeated. But sometimes in our lives, we can find ourselves in a place where our praise to God doesn't seem to flow as naturally or come as easily. And I've been really challenged recently in my own life to think about how I am praising God. Or maybe a better and a harder question I had to ask myself was, am I praising God? And some of you might know that I used to live with Ron and Laura Swan. They're elders here in the church. Now, I've said this before when I've spoken, but I am not a morning person. I am definitely a night owl, and that would be when I would spend time with God. And so sometimes it would be like 1 a.m. in the morning, and I've got my worship music in my earphones because I'm a considerate late-night worshiper. I didn't want to wake them up. And my bedroom was right below Ron and Laura's. And sometimes I'd be praying, and I'd just be worshiping, and then a song would come on. And the song, like, spoke right to the situation that I was praying about. And, you know, I'm just there, and the song comes on, and I start to move a little bit more. And then the song gets faster, and so I'm like, okay, God. And I'm praising in my room, not really thinking about the fact that other people might be able to hear me. And then the next morning, I'd be at the breakfast table or something, and Ron and Laura would look at me and just be like, "Did you have a praise party in your room again last night?" And then sometimes it would be even worse. I'd think I'm quieter now. I'm like whisper singing. Has anyone done that whisper singing? And it's probably really out of tune and breathy and awful. And I'd be, it come on again. So I'm dancing. You know, I put my trainers on this morning for this. I sacrificed height so I could really give it to you. But so I'd be praising and I'm like jumping around and I'm like, I know that's a creaky floorboard, so I'm going to go around this one. And my bed just sort of had this shape. So I'd be like this and round, come back, God, and I'm praising you. And then the storage in the basement was below my room, and it had a motion-activated light. And so sometimes I'd be really giving it, and Ali Swan's bedroom was downstairs, and the next morning she would say, "Did you dance all night again?" Because the light kept coming on and flashing, and she could see it in her bedroom. And now my life looks a little different now. I don't think my husband Josh would really appreciate waking up to see me at the bottom of the bed, like, breathy praising. He might be a little bit worried. I did actually have a praise party recently in my front room, and my dog did not enjoy it whatsoever. I put the music on the TV, and I'm dancing, I'm praising, and I'm not sure if he's not saved and was sort of worried that an episode was happening, or if he's so saved he was trying to, like, lay paws on me and cast out a demon. I don't know what was happening, but either way, I still need to pray for him and do some training with him. But anyone else in here likes to take a leaf out of David's book and praise and dance before the Lord sometimes? Do I have any dance worshippers, any praisers in here? Nice. But if you've never had a praise dance party at 1 a.m. in the morning, you do not know what you're missing, let me tell you. David is someone, I'm out of breath now, man. Whew, clearly I'm out of practice. Sorry, Josh, you might have to get used to it. Okay, David is someone who knew how to praise God. And in fact, most of the times that praise is mentioned in the Bible is in Psalms. And in Psalm 141, we see David crying out to God in a prayer of protection. And it's believed that this psalm he wrote while on the run. and it gives us some insight into verse 2. So I think it's going to be on the screen now. So David said this, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Now, in David's time, they didn't have a church building to go to like we do now. They had the tabernacle. And if you're not familiar with the tabernacle, it was a place where God's presence would rest. And you can see here that there's a room called the Holy Room in the first section. And then there's the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and God's presence would rest. And in the Holy Room, you can see here there's the altar of incense, and that would burn constantly. We sang about that this morning. Day and night let incense arise. That incense would be burning before God. And David is coming before God in this verse in Psalm 141. He's saying, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you." He's saying, "I can't publicly come to your temple because I'm on the run. I can't come and offer up worship to you like everybody else. But will you count my prayers as incense before you? This incense that burns in the holy room, will you count my prayers as this?" And then he says, "I can't offer you a sacrifice. I can't come to the altar and put a sacrifice down, but let the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." David's a fugitive. He's on the run. He's forced away from the throne that is his. And this psalm is about protection and sanctification. But first he says, "Let me offer up praise. Let me offer up a sacrifice to you." And the words here, the lifting of hands, is really important, because one of the main Hebrew words for praise is yada. Can you say yada? And the root word is hand, because yad in Hebrew means hand. So yada is the extended hand, the lifting of hands. And the meaning of it is to express gratitude and thankfulness and surrender. So David is saying here, "Let the lifting of my hands, let my praise be like the evening sacrifice. Let praising and lifting my hands to you be as sweet and as acceptable as the sacrifice in your tabernacle." And I think that for some of us, perhaps there has been a season where our praise has lessened. Life has maybe gotten the better of us. Circumstances have taken over, and we haven't offered a sacrifice of praise because the sacrifice of our season has been our praise. Do you hear what I'm saying here? What we've given up is our praise. We still love God, and that didn't change, but how does God want us to love him? He wants our praise. He created us for praise. In Isaiah 43:21, it says, "The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." He's speaking to Israel here, but we're adopted into his chosen people through Jesus. So it's very clear what we are formed for, so that we may proclaim his praise. And there's a worship song that we have sang here on a Sunday before, and it's really on the nose for this message because it's called Praise. And the lyrics say this: "As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. Sometimes I need to stop focusing on me and just start praising him. I know praise can feel hard sometimes, and I don't know what you are walking through right now, and you might be in the toughest season of your life. You might be at the end of your prayer rope. You might be waiting for the miracle, for the healing, for the spouse, for the child, for the prodigal to come home. Maybe you're waiting for the provision, for the restored relationship, for the job. I don't know what season you're in. I don't know what has lessened your praise. I don't know what circumstance has felt so difficult that praise hasn't come naturally to you. But I do know that God is good. And the goodness of God, as Shay said, means that he is near and he is close and he is with us and he has never left you. And because of that, he is worthy of our praise. You know, I can look into the eyes of people that are the goodness of my life. I can look into the eyes of my husband, the eyes of my friends, the eyes of my family, and see the goodness of God in my life. Or I can think about things that I've been contending in prayer for 15 years and haven't seen God moving yet. But as long as I am breathing, I have a reason to praise him. And I remember having a conversation with Dave Wiles And it was during COVID, and I don't think we'd seen each other for a while. We were having a bit of a catch-up. And I think I was talking about some areas of prayer that I was still waiting to see God move in, and how I'd felt the disappointment of an answered prayer. Truthfully, I think it was more so about still being single at that time, and I'd followed God's call to Canada, and I'd felt that if I followed God's call, he'd bring that fulfillment, and I hadn't seen that for years. And I was, you know, kind of downhearted, probably a little teary. And Dave looked at me with compassion and a pastor's heart. He just looked me right in the eyes. Okay, I'm coming for you online. Looked me right in the eyes. And he said this. And I'll remember the words. I'll never forget them because they were so beautiful. He looked at me and he said, Jenny, God doesn't owe you anything. That quickly dried the tears up, let me tell you. Sometimes I forget this, and this conversation has come back to my mind recently a lot, and I'm sure actually in some of the groups I'm in, I might have shared it. And I thought last week, God, why does this keep coming back to me? Why do you keep bringing this conversation back? And God then spoke into my heart with compassion and a father's heart, and he said to me, it's because you haven't got it yet. And sometimes I need things re-revealed to me. I know Shay's with me on that one. I'm not the only one that these big revelations come. But God doesn't owe me anything. I get so caught up in doing and being busy for God that I can twist how this relationship works. And I can expect God to act out the script for my life that I have written for him. But the script was written a long time ago, and that script says, I need to praise him. God doesn't owe me anything, but I owe him everything. And so if he asks me to praise him, then I'm going to praise him. If he says that he loves the lifting of my hands, then guess what, God? Here's my yada. Here are my hands. Because if that's how you want to be loved, if that's how you want to be praised, here's my praise. He owes us nothing. And yet the goodness of God is that he still gives. He still blesses. He still heals. He still provides. He still listens. He still answers. He still does all of this even when I haven't been praising him. Shay asked you earlier to think of a time when you saw the goodness of God in your life. And that one time alone is enough for you to praise him for eternity. And if nothing else, you have breath in your lungs today, and that's a reason to praise him. But does anyone else in here know that you are still going to see the goodness of God in your life over and over again because that's who he is? I'd like to invite the band to come back up now. In Psalm 42, verse 11, it says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Psalm 63, verses 3 to 4. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Psalm 145, verse 3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Praise isn't about you. Praise isn't for you. Praise is above your preference. Maybe you came in here this morning and you didn't like the songs that they sang. Maybe you walk in and you don't see your favorite worship leader on stage, but praise isn't for you. Praise isn't about you. Praise is about the living God. Praise is above your preference. Praise is above your introversion or your extroversion. Praise is above your feelings. Praise is above your circumstance. Praise is your sacrifice to the good God. And I need to be honest with you that I have been so wrapped up in myself recently, in my own feelings, in feeling overwhelmed, in feeling down and struggling with some things that I have neglected the assignments in prayer that he has given me. But worse than that, I have neglected to continually praise him for who he is. And I think church, we are in a place where praise needs to be our weapon that goes ahead of the battle. It's a tactic of the enemy to stop you praising. Your praise doesn't have to look like a 1 a.m. party, although I would recommend it. It doesn't have to look elaborate, but it does have to look like something. We are in a time where all of us are facing what's going on in the world. We can't hide from it. And I believe that this season is starting with our personal praise. And from that, it moves into our corporate praise as we are here this morning. It begins with our sacrifice and our priority for the purpose He created us for. It is time to praise Him. We need to get back to the tabernacle in front of the Holy of Holies and praise God. We need to declare, Lord, here is my evening sacrifice. You may be walking through a wilderness right now, but first and foremost, you need to praise God. Will you stand with me? We're going to sing a song right now. We're going to offer up praise to the living God. And if you've got breath in your lungs this morning, you have a reason to sing this song and to praise Him. Some of you are serial Yadaras. Some of you have never raised your hands before in your life, and that's okay. But can I encourage you that God loves the extending of your hands? God loves to see you praise Him in this way. And you might already be putting those walls up and saying, don't tell me how to praise, Jenny. But listen, I didn't tell you how to praise. God's word did. I'm not smart enough to make up Yada. He told you that. He loves to see your hands lifted. He loves to see your hands extended before Him. And if you believe that He is good this morning, then He deserves your sacrifice of praise. Amen.
Awesome. I think we're just starting church now. Well, thank you so much, Shay and Jenny. That was awesome. We were stirred, encouraged. Is God good? And all the time? Have a great Sunday. Rest of your Sunday, everyone.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.